We have the children do that at 10:30. It's actually harder than it looks. I always think it's a bit of a dirty trick to get them to do it in front of everybody else. It's actually, you need quite a steady hand. So let's pray then a special prayer for Advent. Lord Jesus, light of the world, John told the people to prepare, for you were very near. As Christmas grows closer day by day, help us to be ready to welcome you now. Amen. And the church's prayer for today. God, for whom we watch and wait, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of your Son. Give us courage to speak the truth, to hunger for justice, and to suffer for the cause of right. With Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Time now for our readings, and I invite Elizabeth to come and read to us from Philippians.
Our reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, reading from verse 4 to verse 7. And can be found on page 1180 of the Church Bibles. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for our gospel reading, which is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. Verses 7 to 18, you'll find that on page 1029 of the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. People were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing to proclaim the creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, and Hamish is going to come and speak with us.
Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you would speak to us today from your word. May your Holy Spirit move in our midst and apply your words to our hearts. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I just want to read again those verses that Elizabeth read earlier, because I'm going to concentrate on these few verses from Philippians chapter 4, from verse 4 to verse 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. At the heart of the good news of Jesus is the announcement that God is near. In Old Testament times, God could only be reached through the priests in the temple. But when Jesus came at Advent, we learn that God isn't a distant and aloof deity requiring sacrifice before he draws near to sinful humanity. In Christ Jesus, God is not a faraway God, but a God who is near. Emmanuel, God with us, as we have on our banner. And in the Holy Spirit, we can experience God in us. Whatever is happening in our lives and our relationships, Paul says, God is near. And when Paul says the Lord is near, he is also looking forward to Jesus' second coming. In Paul's day, of course, it was generally thought that Jesus would return very soon, in the lifetime of many who were living at the time. So the Lord is near was taken quite literally. But now, 2,000 years later, Christ hasn't yet come again. But his coming is still near and getting nearer on God's timescale. In this passage in Philippians, Paul points out three things about how we should live, knowing that Christ is near and getting nearer. First of all, the Lord is near, so rejoice. If we are convinced that the Lord is near, then Paul says we should be filled with joy, not cast down or sad. And Paul commands us to rejoice twice in the same sentence. He says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Clearly, Paul wants us to realize that rejoicing is really important, or even essential, to our daily walk with the Lord. Paul isn't, of course, calling for us to paste a false smile on our faces and act as if things are perfect when they're not. Instead, he's calling us to find delight and gladness in the Lord in the midst of the most difficult times. And of course, it's important that he says we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to find our joy and fulfillment and strength and sustenance in the Lord, not in shopping, not in comfort food, not in promotions at work or our daily coffee at Costa's or building a big bank balance. We are to find our joy in the Lord, in no one else and in nothing else. And notice in verse 4 that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Christian joy is something which is unaffected by circumstances. It's a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. More and more, as we grow in our faith, we will find our joy and our strength in maintaining a close relationship with God, where we share our worries and concerns with Him. So the Lord is near, so rejoice. And then the Lord is near, so don't worry. If the Lord is near, then Paul says we should also not be worried or anxious about the future. If the Lord is near, then however bleak the news may be from around the world, in our own country, in France, or in Syria, we have a Lord who is near. His kingdom is coming. We can be filled with Christian hope and assurance. He has the whole world in his hands, and he has a plan and is in control. Don't be anxious about anything. How much time do we waste in our daily lives being anxious and worried? We can allow ourselves to become preoccupied and distracted and troubled about the problems, the challenges, and the difficulties in life, or we can submit them all to God, as Paul says, and ask for his wisdom and peace and guidance. We'll all experience worry in our lives over some things. We can try to handle things on our own and send ourselves sometimes into an emotional tailspin. Or we can draw near to God, pray things through, and hand over the stress and the worry to Him. We should seek God and His wisdom rather than stewing about things, wallowing in them, or ranting and raving about them. The Lord is near, so rejoice. The Lord is near, so don't worry. And thirdly, Paul says, the Lord is near, so be at peace. These things are obviously related to each other in a sense. If the Lord is near, and Paul says we should be experiencing peace in our lives. Peace is an inner spiritual calm and well-being and wholeness. The basis of the Hebrew word shalom, which includes all these meanings. When we feel stressed and wonder whether we can cope with all the pressures in life, then remember that the Lord is near. We can rest in Him. We can lie down in His green pastures. God offers His peace as an alternative to a life of stress and worry and depression. Not an ordinary, passing, fleeting peace, but a peace which Paul says surpasses all understanding. In these troubled times, in this broken world, in the midst of broken relationships and heartbreak and pain and persecution, we can have the peace of God. So remember, the Lord is near. He came near at the first Christmas. He is near today, if we let Him. And sometime in the future, He will come even nearer. So let us rejoice. Let us conquer worry. And let us be at peace in Him. Amen.
Thank you, Hamish. Particularly appreciated as Hamish hasn't been feeling well, so thank you very much for those words of insight. That would be very helpful. Let's stand together to make our collection, and I will prepare the table for our communion. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.